Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm so excited. I like, if you haven't read the book yet, maybe we have it, you can see it. It's Army of the Dawn, written by Rick Joyner. And it's really, if you've read about the call, the vision that God gave him, the call, I think, was pretty relevant. He penned his last part of it in 1998. You know, they published it, I believe, in 1999, January of 1999, it came out and hit the presses. But when we're reading that, and it was just so accurate, you know, for what the Lord was saying. And one thing you talked about in that particular vision of the call, and you're looking at, I think right there, the Army of the Dawn. Awesome. Awesome. But you got to get it. You got to read it. It's very encouraging. It's very informative, practical things, as well as the, you know, the direction that we're, he believes, you know, we know in part and prophesy in part, but what he's, you know, he's seeing. And, what we saw and read about in the call in that particular vision, today is the day that you're, you know, you're starting to see that. And the Army of the Dawn is really kind of, okay, we're walking into this thing. And I mean, the humility level of Rick Joyner is totally amazing. You know, he's always pretty open to say, you know, we're not, I'm not there yet. You know, we're on our journey. You're hoping, you're like, okay, it's been 10 years. But the truth is, it takes a while to fulfill things, and we have to, through faith and patience, we inherit things.
Process.
And it's a process. And so one thing, I want you to see this right here, where he's talking about something pretty interesting, because historically, you know, the church and the Inquisition and the things that have happened, you know, with the Catholic Church and the military viewpoints that they took of things, and is Rick Joyner talking about this? Well, we want to first hear what he says, and then we're going to talk about it. I think it's going to really encourage you.
But you are going to see the body of Christ take on a military demeanor. Doesn't mean we're going out killing people. It's not what this army is about. We go out to heal them, raise them from the dead. You know, not to wound them, but to heal them. Not to conquer them, but to set them free. You know, but there is a military discipline that we've got to have, a military demeanor. I think you're going to see coming upon the body of Christ more and more. I think it's going to start gelling this year.
It's going to come on more and more. And he says, you know, he believes it's going to start gelling this year. You know, being, you know, former military, both of us served in the military. We just kind of drove y'all around on our boat. Why y'all shine your shoes? We don't know what, no. Navy and Marines, that there's one thing, you know, God is a God of order. And, you know, there's a lot of people who pervert order. You know, ISIS has some sort of order. And, but God has an order. God is a God of order. And there's one thing with, I know when Rick was writing about the vision he had about the call, when he was looking at these three particular armies, and, you know, it was three different seasons of the church. And the first particular army was just in chaos. There was no, people were jealous and envious. And, you know, people look at, in this vision, people had a higher rank than someone else. And they were intimidated by that. And somebody else was lording over them. It was just a mess. The second army had, you know, more, you know, some order to it, but still a lot of those issues there. And the third army, they were just marching smoothly in order. Everybody was moving in agreement. Nobody felt better than anybody else, but there was order to it. And they would walk into a city, and it was a destroyed type city. They'd walk into it, and all of a sudden it would be replenished, and everything turns green, and everything is lively. And when they would leave this third army, things would stay good. But when the earlier two armies would go into a city, they would cause more damage. The first army would just cause damage, and the second army would actually do good, but they would kill it on the way out. There's so many people that step on their harvest. I mean, they do this, they go do ministry, and then they don't understand that you can kill that. You know, it doesn't just happen. And then they just, with their character, with their behavior, how they treat people, they could just kill it. And that's what the second army did. And of course, the third army would go into a bad city. It would get better. When they leave, it stay. They knew how to do that. And so the Lord asks Rick, in this vision, he says, you know, which one do you think you are? And he, he says, what do you think I should do? We should do with this First Army here, which is just a mess.
Right.
And of course, you know, Rick responds immediately. We just need to just deal with them. We need to, you know,
remove them.
Yeah. It was just like intense, right? You know, get rid of them. And then the Lord says to Rick, he says, this is you. This is the church. This is the condition of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And so you think about it. That's where we were, what, 1998, you know, at that time, 1999. And so somehow we have to progress through this thing, you know, which are we? What is our life like? And you can tell a person, you can tell where they are in their life by the trail, the wake they leave behind.
Mm-hmm. Relationships.
The relationships, yeah. You know, we talk about that in, you know, VFN Kingdom Business, but you can tell about a person, the wakes don't lie. You know, if you're going through the water in your ship, in your boat, you know, it puts a cut in the water and it puts a wake. There's a right side and the left side to the wake. One side of it, you could really call task, how you handle the task. And the other side is how you handle relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And some people are really good at tasks, but they'll just murder you on the relationship thing. Like, just pick up your head.
But
let's go on.
Done,
you just
done.
Cut my head off, right? And there's other people that are good at relationships. They don't ever get anything done.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's so... It's having the balance of those two things. And that last army, mm-hmm. which is where the church is going and growing to, is where we have that revelation. God has given us a grace to be able to do that. And I'm excited about going in that direction. So the Army of the Dawn really is talking about that. And so when you're talking about this military demeanor, it's about order.
Yeah.
You know?
And as you're saying that, one of the huge things is when you're hearing what Rick Joyner is saying in regards to having a military demeanor, it causes me to remember, and in regards to being in the Marine Corps, is that look at boot camp. You have 50 to 70 individuals come together, and 3 months later, they can hear a voice of one individual say, step. And
in you 3 months.
In literally three months.
Right.
You have 50 to 70 people walking as one.
Yeah.
Now, think about this. When you look at the church, it's like following the leadership of the Lord, following the voice of Jesus Christ. There's no, it's not, you're not saying, well, what are you doing? It's like, right. What are we doing together right. to advance what Jesus has called us to do, walking together in agreement, coming together as the body of Christ? That is encouraging.
Well, you went fast by, you know, boot camp because a lot of people might not understand that. But you said, you know, you're basically chaotic and everybody going their own directions. Mm-hmm. You go through boot camp and then they get you in order, but also an agreement where you're walking in unity.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no such thing as an effective fighting force. It's not unified. That's why America right now is in a very dangerous state, because people are confused. There's not a clear vision over our country. People are trying to undo and transform us from our original viewpoint of who we were and God intended us to be. And that's totally, I mean, if anything could be divided, the enemy's working hard to
divide it.
And an effective fighting force in the military is a unified, you know, a unified unit that's walking together to the point that, you know, they say that a man does not really necessarily die for his country, but what he does is he gives his life for his buddy, his fellow soldier.
Lays down his life.
Yeah, that's right beside him. But if you get a lot of those relationships together, you got a large army.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it works. You have a relationship, but the church is so isolated, you know, for years. You know, even though you're gathering together, do you know anything about the person next to you? I know you know something about Susie in the Sunday school class, but do you know that the person beside you that you sit beside, you know, for years, do you know what's happening in their life? Do you know where they work? Do you know if their marriage is okay? Do you know if they're financially all right? Do you know if they have teenagers that are giving them a hard time, or, you know, do you know anything about them? And are you connected enough in a relationship to help them out? Well, that's one thing that, you know, the Army of the Dawn is talking about, and what, you know, Rick is talking about, and what the Lord's kind of head us in that same direction is, you know, discipleship is best caught rather than taught.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I hear what you're saying, but what you're doing is messing me up, you know.
Hugely. Well, when you look at how Jesus walked and he spent time with his disciples, you had the religious leaders of the day focused, and they were carrying out everything that was going on in the temple. And it was just like, you look at the relationship between the disciples and Jesus, he would, you know, say, look at the grass of the field, look at the sparrows, look at the tree. And they spent 3 years with him.
Right.
And then what happened after that was the book of Acts. And it's like the context, like you're saying, of discipleship in that relationship. That's where it's returning back to. He's saying going back to those small units, those small gatherings.
What we keep trying to do, we just think if we just get a whole bunch of people together, we'll have a big army.
Right.
But the truth is, if you really know how armies are set up, and we're not going to be a military army, but the kind of concept of that, it's really a whole bunch of very small units, right?
Mm-hmm.
Platoons, and depending on what branch you're in. And when they all come together, they're really separate little small groups, very small groups. And it takes that point to be able to say, to do something effectively, you know, and it has a leader, and they're going in a direction, and everybody knows their place. Over 90% that, you know, Rick writes about in the Army of the Dawn, over less than 10% and less than 10%, 10%, only 10% know their purpose. About that. I mean, can you imagine if you're in the Marines and you graduate from boot camp and they still are going like, don't know why I'm wearing this uniform and I'm tired of shining that thing, right?
Yeah.
And so, you got to know your purpose. It's one thing, you're knowing your place, and that, you know, 10%, only 10% of Christians are aware of that. I mean, 90% don't, and less than 10% know their call. You know, in the military, you would say, you know, you're going to be, you know, a marksman or shooter. You're going to be, you know, on this, and you're going to be on, you know, food. You're going to do this. And all of a sudden everybody just goes and does their thing, and it just happens because everybody's in their place. But right now, if we don't know our call, don't know our purpose, and we don't understand what Rick's talking about, is, and this is not something we're going to make happen, this is something we're going to realize it needs to happen. And it will happen. I mean, think about a natural family who loves each other, that there's something inside of them because of their relationship that does not let bad things happen to one of the members of the family.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you go sit around the table, and you know that all of a sudden nobody's, there's no spiritual laws going on. You just see somebody's face. It's so long they can eat oats from a tailpipe. It's like, oh, are you going through something? And are you going to pass the ketchup, or are you going to throw it at me? No. I mean, there's something you can do at a smaller group that you couldn't even do. There's people dying, you know, next to people in large organizations that they need somebody in their life. And so I think it's going to be a thing. You can't make things happen.
Mm-hmm.
And the worst thing you could do is like, that's right, you know, we can go do this military thing. And if you're going to make it happen, you're going to be like the person's wake who only dealt with task.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's one thing about the military itself, it struggles with. They got the task part down, but this relationship type thing sometimes is really tough. The thickest relationship you have in the military quite often is with your smaller core group. And then you just tolerate whatever else is going on. Right?
Everything outside of that.
Right. So it's 99.9. And so, so you don't make this thing happen, but be open for it. Be open for, you know, am I a person of order? You know, do I get offended when I'm asked to do something? Do I have a place in a body? Do I know my call? Do I know my purpose? If God launched me out on the front lines and he's sending us all out, go into all the world, am I ready to do it? Or am I actually living vicariously through others who'd be able to do that? And you know your place. I mean, that'd be terrible to be launched out in the military and your platoon is sent out and your small squad is sent out. And all of a sudden you look at the other eight fellow soldiers with you and you go, what are we doing here? Actually, that did happen. That happened. One particular man was in a foxhole. And he said, the only reason it was in Iraq and shots were going off. He said, the only reason I was in this thing is for my education, to get an education thing. And the guy is telling me the story. He said, you're in. This is it. This is the real deal. And a lot of the church is like that. And so we got to say, you know what? It's time for us to move into this season. And we can do it by becoming a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. One great way to do that is begin to abide. And we have something, we have a plan for you. Abiding with the Lord, he talks about, it's impossible to do anything outside of abiding with him, Jesus. Go to iabide.org and get your abiding plan today. It's real simple. It's broke down. And you start building a relationship, a true, authentic relationship. Think about this. If you had 90 days to learn something, that if you didn't learn it on your 91st day, you're going to be dead. You pay attention.
Yep.
It's amazing that you know that inevitably you're going to be put on the front lines and you're going to have to go, you know, a tour of duty. You're going to pay attention. Well, that's how we're supposed to be as Christians. We're all going on a tour of duty. God has sent us all out, and begin to pay attention to build your relationship with the Lord. Secondly, become his disciple. Most of the church in America is not even discipled. Think about it. And we're called to be disciples, followers, people that know his teachings and follow his teachings, according to what Rick Joyner's talking about. That's what he said in there. And with that, I know we got to go to a break, but in that, you know, when we begin to take seriously what God has called us to do and realize that we could be, God could call us to Egypt tomorrow. God could call us to Iraq tomorrow. God could call us to Afghanistan. God could call us to China. God could call us to our neighborhood. But we're going to have to do something for him because he's called us to do something. Then we start paying attention. And when you do that, you start coming together because you're listening to the same commander, Jesus, the same, you know, sergeant, you know, the same Holy Spirit is directing us all and speaking to us. And that's why when we come together and we all say amen, it means there's something in my spirit that bears witness with your spirit that we heard from the same commander. And that's what brings us together in unity.
We'll be right back.
Did you know that Jesus himself said, apart from abiding in him, that we can accomplish nothing? So many people want to be able to do that, but you know what? They don't have a plan to do it. We put together a simple plan for you, and it's at iabide.org. It's iabide.org. Go there and request your plan today. It is amazing how your life will change when you begin to spend time with him who created the universe. He's been desiring that you would do that. It's at iabide.org. Request your simple plan today. Today's wisdom moment is from Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 15, verse 10. This is so powerful. Proverbs 15, chapter 15, verse 10. Stern discipline awaits him who leaves the path. He who hates correction will die. Let me read that again. Proverbs 15, 10. Stern discipline awaits him who leaves the path. And he who hates correction, resents, pushes away from, can't stand, correction will die. That's huge. First of all, we got to find out what is this path? I didn't know about no path. What path? I didn't know there was a path. There's a path? I didn't know there was a path. This is important because there's a path. Let me tell you what the path is. A path is for believers. You know, and God's word speaks so much about the path, yet much of today's believers, if you looked at their life, you would think, you know, they're nomads. They're wanderers. They just kind of wander around. They call it being spirit-led, rather than a people who are predictable because they all walk in the same path laid out by the Lord they profess. Because we're supposed to be pretty predictable. You know, it doesn't change. You know, hit one cheek, turn the other cheek. Mm-hmm. You know, those type of things. And so there's a path. You know, what is the path? Well, we first have to know what the path, where and what the path is before we can actually know if we're on it or off it or that type of thing or choose to leave it. And not to know if you are on the path does not give us a pass to plead ignorance before God on judgment day. Understand that we're called as believers. If we made Jesus the Lord of our life, we love him. Mm-hmm. We seek his ways. He tells us to make disciples, which is followers of Jesus. This is what he says in John 8, 31 through 32. Jesus said, he who follows my teachings, which is his path, his ways, he who follows his path, his teachings, are really my disciples, and they'll know the truth, and the truth will set them free. And he who the Son sets free is free indeed. See, what happens is it's the knowings, the directions, and this is how you live your life. It's a path. It's not something carved out in the dirt or something carved out in concrete. It's just something carved out in your heart. It's what you transformation that takes place in your life as you learn the ways of God. And he says they even called Christianity, they called it the way. Mm-hmm. It was the way, meaning the path. When you think about this, he says, you know, he said David, when he wrote in Psalms 119, 105, he says, your word is a light unto my feet and it's a lamp unto my path. What does that mean? That the word of God lets us know, since it's the lamp unto our feet, it lets us know where we are. Where am I right now in my life? What's going on? What's happening around me? How do I relate to it? And then it also is a lamp unto our path, which means understanding that it lets me know where to go. It literally will light up the way to go in your life. You cannot walk in darkness. Do not walk in the way of light and think that you're not going to stumble in many ways. These things are going to happen. Jesus tells us to go into all the world and tell everyone of his love for them, his desire to bring them into his family, to forgive their sins and to heal them, but to also make them disciples of his.
Teach them the path of discipleship. Encourage them to walk in his ways, on his path. Proverbs 2:12 says, and through 15, wisdom will save you from the wicked man, from men whose words are perverse, who leave the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. Listen, see, there's a righteous path. It's a righteous path that we're supposed to walk in, and we learn that. We get saved. We give our life to God, but it doesn't stop there. That's the beginning. That's like saying you're born as a natural baby, and you just stay an infant. It's like, no, the next thing you need to do is become a disciple of Jesus Christ. Find out his path and follow it. And think about this. When we think about the Lord and wisdom, how wisdom leads us on the straight path, Proverbs 4, 10 through 12 talks about this path. Just listen, my son. Accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I give you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. See, when the Lord leads us, it's a straight path. It's not so crooked and confusing and all these different things saying it's complicated. No, rebellion's complicated, but walking with Jesus is not complicated. And he goes on and says, and when we walk your steps, when you walk in this way with wisdom, with God in his path, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. And that's so important because he tells us if we leave that, stern discipline is going to come our way for those that leave the path. So the path is, you'll find out that they say that America's church is an undiscipled church. What does that mean? They've left the path. What's about to happen to America? Stern discipline. How can we prevent it? Make Jesus the Lord of your life and become his disciple. Consider this. You know, Hebrews, we're talking about a stern path. I mean, stern discipline awaits those who leave this path. You think about it, in Hebrews chapter 12, he tells us, consider hardship as discipline, that God is treating you as a son. Let's go a little bit further than that. In verse 4, he says, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Well, not in America. Ain't nobody. And have you forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons? My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone that he accepts as sons. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? And if you're not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are an illegitimate son and not a true son. See, true sons of God, discipline, you find out if you're a true son of God or not, when discipline, when correction comes your way. It goes, it says, moreover, we have all had human fathers who discipline us, and we respect them for it. How much more should we submit to capital F, the Father of our spirit, and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while, as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, he writes, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who are trained by it. So understand, stern discipline faces us when we wander off the ways of God. If we never knew God's path and his ways, we never read, if only 19% are reading about his path, reading the word of God, according to George Barna, you know, stern discipline is coming our way. And discipline, we have to understand the enemy's twisted that. Discipline is not abusing anybody. It's discipline. That's what we used to call education. When you go to school, the word was you got a discipline. You're learning a discipline. Discipline is about correcting one's direction, one's behavior, not harming them just to harm them. If one thing has been twisted in this culture, it's definitely, I would say, discipline. But think about military boot camp. Military boot camp, when you go to the boot camp, it's a discipline. You're learning a discipline, how to function in the context of the military. And discipleship in the Lord, it's considered a discipline. It's being a disciple of Jesus. We can learn his ways, his path, and walk in it, or we can learn his ways and not walk in it and suffer consequences for not walking, if we're leaving the path. Stern discipline awaits us when we leave the path. Mm-hmm. Or we can just choose not to know his ways and not walk in them and suffer the eternal consequences that come our way. And then think about this. Even Jesus himself learned obedience. Hebrews 5:8-10. Jesus, although he was a son, he learned obedience. Listen, if Jesus had to learn, we got to learn. He learned obedience from what he suffered. What's he talking about? In my discipline, in my correction. He never got corrected because he did what was right, but this is the flesh suffering.
That's right.
Jesus, although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. With loud cries and petitions, he called out to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Listen, we're told over and over again that we become a source for others to find God when we finally go through something. Jesus became a source for eternal life when he walked through the hardships of walking and obedient to the Father. When we do the same thing, we become a source for others. Once our obedience is made complete, I think about Paul writing to the church of Corinth in 2 Corinthians 10:6. He says, and we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once our obedience is complete. What does that mean? Stay on the path.
Right.
Stay on the path. Stay on the path. Find out what the path is. Listen, if you are not discipled, get discipled. Get discipled. Find somebody who's not teaching you the 4 points and a farewell, whatever. Find out how to follow Jesus and follow his ways. Listen, do you want a stern rebuke in your life? Do you want all these calamities in your life? Continue on the path that you're going. But get on the path of Jesus and be his disciple, and you'll find out your life will change. And then he says, he that hates correction will die. It makes me think about when Paul was writing to the church of Ephesus, when he talked about in verse 6, verse 1 through 3, he said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise, that it may go well with you. What does that mean? No stern discipline, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that you may enjoy a long life on earth. What does that mean? It means death does not await you because you're willing to be corrected. You're willing to go through the times of correction in your life, even the times of hardship, even when you have to cry out to God. And also when you think about in 1 Corinthians 11:27 through 32, you know, he says many people have died early or are sick in their body because they wrongly discern the body of Christ. Understanding that when God's speaking to you and he's correcting you, he's doing that quite often through another member of the body of Christ. And you can miss that. And by missing that, you can end up being sick in your body, or you could be you can die early, have an early death in your life. Not every early death and not every sickness is called that way, but he talks about that and how important it is. Listen, today's wisdom moments from Proverbs 15:10. Stern discipline awaits him who leaves the path, and he who hates correction will die.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.